The Colorado Business Roundtable unapologetically tells the story that business is a force for good in our community, featuring conversations with thought leaders from academia, business, community, and government. Welcome to A Seat at the Table with Debbie Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on this episode of A Seat at the Table with Debbie Brown. And this is Debbie Brown, president of Colorado Business Roundtable. And we're excited, as we always are, to bring together academia, business, community, and government and talk about issues of the day with some of our thought leaders that are involved in Colorado Business Roundtable or in Colorado. Today, we actually have somebody who fits in both. And I'm excited to welcome Kirk Mullins to the podcast today. Welcome, Kirk.
Thank you, Debbie. It's fun to be here.
And you are kind of one of those interesting people. I've known you in the business community for many years. You just recently joined our board of directors with Cobert, but you have your fingers in lots of really cool things in business and policy and community. Before we jump in to some of the nitty-gritty, Kirk, tell folks a little bit more about your path, your journey. What's your story? How did you end up here today?
It certainly wasn't a linear path. If you look at my background, as a business owner now and a business consultant for many, many years, it was actually my second career. I started off as an attorney and really enjoyed that. But I found, like so many things in my life, I get bored very easily.
I can relate to that.
Yes, people joke that I have ADD, that I have to move from one thing to the next. And that's led me down a bunch of different paths. So, as a reformed attorney, I laughingly referred myself as, got into consulting. And as I did, I realized the thing I loved about consulting was complex challenges, connecting people, and just having a variety of things to work on. And so that's continued as I've gone through my career that I find I'm just fascinated by other challenges, things I haven't taken on. And that's what has brought me into a lot of the community work I do, a lot of the policy work I do. It really is just about how do I extend my experiences and learn about other things and, quite frankly, have a positive impact in the community in which I live and I work. So it's brought me all kinds of different satisfaction. And I will tell you, I still don't know what I want to do when I grow up. And the most interesting people I know are the same.
I actually think that's true. I keep thinking of my next couple things, you know, that I'm going to do before I retire. And I don't know that I ever will retire. I actually feel fortunate that I can have the impact I do now, which is probably what you think of too. There's no reason to golf every day.
Absolutely. Retirement is the old traditional concept. It doesn't appeal to me. I can't imagine going from 100 miles an hour to almost zero overnight. To me, I can't even imagine retiring. My father-in-law, who's now 89 years old, he worked up until he was about 82, and he was also one of the most satisfied adults that I know, satisfied people in general that I know. And I think it's that purpose and that fulfillment of having an impact and actually doing something.
Yeah, I agree. Well, before I've got a couple other questions for you, especially on this little field trip we took recently to Colorado Springs. But before I jump into that, what's the short story of what does RevGen do? You founded this about 10 years ago. It's the consulting company that now is headquartered in Denver. But what exactly do you do, Kirk, with RevGen?
Sure. So RevGen is a business and technology consulting firm. We have been from the very beginning always been focused on driving meaningful business results. We do that through bringing services forward, such as data and insights, customer experience, digital transformation, and all of that's underlined by technology. One of the things that makes us different as RevGen is that we bring both the business acumen and the technology, so we can help from the strategy all the way through to the implementation. As I refer to it, it's kind of one throat to choke through our projects. So that's the firm. What I do is all kinds of different things. I co-founded the firm many years ago with two other partners, one who's still involved in the business. And I've worn many, many hats, as many of us have. Took over as CEO at the beginning of 2017. And I look at my job now as CEO stands for the Chief Enablement Officer. I'm all about how do I bring the best out of my team and everyone that I get to work with. And that's honestly what brings me the most joy is seeing somebody accomplish something that maybe they didn't necessarily think was possible and seeing that and being able to bring that forward.
Well, and that kind of leads me to my next question for you. You know, that's so interesting about CEO as chief enablement officer. A lot of times CEOs get a bad rap in today's culture. Business gets a bad rap. And, you know, our mantra with Colorado Business Roundtable is that business is a force for good. And I want to thank you. You were part of a small group of us that went down and actually spoke at a DECA conference of high school students all across Colorado that met at the state conference. And we provided commentary on that business is a force for good. And to bring you down as an actual real life CEO, I don't know that these kids meet CEOs very often, founders of businesses, entrepreneurs, and you could have planted some seeds for them about business that's a little bit different than what culture might be telling them. Tell me why you took a half day off, Kirk. You weren't generating revenue. You took a half day off to kind of help spread that message. Why would that be important to you?
You know, from the very beginning of my career, even before I was in the professional world, I had this desire, or really, I felt there was a responsibility. When you have great things, you have great responsibilities. And part of that is, how do we have a positive impact in the world in which we live and we work? And as I look at it, I said from the very beginning when we founded the firm, it very much aligns with my own personal interests. I just wanted the world, our community, to be better because I was part of it, because the firm was part of it. So those people that came in contact with me and in my many different roles, as well as the firm that we founded, that they'd be better off because of it, whether it was our employees, whether it was our clients, whether it was the community as a whole. And to me, that's a big point of business as a force for good. Yes, we employ people, and creating jobs is incredibly meaningful. It generates taxes. It generates the ability to have upward economic mobility. All of that is incredibly positive. But I think that misses something if you only take it that far. There's something where we have this responsibility that goes beyond that. If you look at it, Colorado has more nonprofits per capita than any other state. And that's something that I think is incredibly indicative of the culture we live in. But as part of that, right, we're helping support those nonprofits, either as part of a business or boards that I serve on. I just think that there's so much more that we can do and continue to do and drive forward through business than we can as just individuals volunteering.
I feel like I'm fortunate too with my work because I get to represent, you know, people like you. When we talk about public policy issues, how do we keep Colorado strong? How do we keep businesses, you know, to have maximum opportunities here in Colorado? I'd love for you to touch on that just a little bit, that public policy piece. Kirk, I know that you're passionate about that. You do some service with the Denver Metro Chamber of Commerce along the lines of policy recommendations. What advice would you have for business people to get more involved in policy to just make sure that Colorado stays on track?
Yeah, that's a great question. First of all, I don't believe that there is ever any bad intent by any legislature, group, rulemaking organization. The challenge we have is that a lot of people that are making these rules just don't necessarily understand the second and third order impacts that these rules or this new legislation will have. And I find by just being educated on what is currently being discussed, that by bringing a different perspective forward about how what they're discussing will impact business and potentially could prevent us from employing more people or driving the economic benefit in the state is the most important thing. So I would say just be up on what's being discussed. There's always a lot of business impacting bills. There's always a lot to read about. If you're not a member of the Denver Chamber of Commerce, you certainly can get other updates where it talks about the business-focused bills. But that's the first thing, is know what's going on. And the second thing is volunteer to talk to those to help educate them of what those impacts are.
Yeah, I think the first time I testified at the state capitol, it was super scary. And then you just kind of get used to it. And to your point, our policymakers don't know everything. They don't have every background. So to bring more feedback to the table is really healthy for our system.
And I found almost universally, Debbie, that they're always up to learn. And whether it's formally as testimony or it's just getting to know them through the community, I've never run into somebody that isn't willing to have a conversation and at least learn more.
Yeah, I have too, Kirk. I think that's really important. And it's nice too, especially to talk about some of these issues before they become bills or before they become, something that's already implemented to get out ahead of it as well. So a couple questions for you about RevGen. You talked about technology kind of reshifting. How do you utilize, it feels like I can't keep up with technology. This is probably why you have such a good value proposition. How do you utilize technology with your clients when it's so disruptive, when it's always changing? How do you keep a handle on that?
Oh yeah, I've got a team of amazingly smart people that keep up on it. Because like you said, there are so many changes that are happening so rapidly. No one person could keep up, even in one domain or one industry, all the different developments that are out there. So for us, it's about how do we bring the very best thinking? How do we always stay up on the newest technology? And truthfully, at core, when I talked about we focus on business value, there's lots of technology innovations that really aren't driving business value yet. They're just early in that hype cycle. And being able to discern which ones are the important ones to follow for your industry and for your type of business versus the ones that are, quite frankly, just being talked a lot about is incredibly important, just to kind of wade through all of the mud and say, these are the things really to think about. And we spend a lot of time with our clients trying to help them just focus on what is important in my industry and what's going to have an impact over time. So we spend a lot of time on that, but you always start with the vision of what you want in the end and then try to bring that forward to where you are currently.
When I see the headlines around AI, perhaps ethical considerations, you know, I'm seeing what's going on with TikTok. I mean, really interesting, you know, concepts regarding technology that I would think would be top of mind. How do you utilize some of that thought process to help make sure your clients are thinking about technology the right way?
I'll tell you, the ethical considerations specific to AI are numerous. The thing that most people probably know now, but last year, certainly not as many people realized, is AI is just a reflection on who we are as a people, what we documented on the internet, whatever the tool is actually being trained on. So if you have inherent bias in the repository of the training material, that bias gets brought forward. And that's something you can see in many, many different instances. I'm thinking about one example that John Oliver had on his Last Week Tonight, where there was a company that took a look at performance, and this is when algorithms are reading resumes and compared that to who performed the highest. And it came back with a very specific conclusion that the biggest indicator of future success at that business was to be named Jared and to have played high school lacrosse. Again, it's not nice. It's not true, but it was a reflection on the data that was captured and what it was looking at. So hallucinations exist, right? And bias gets brought forward. So when we talk to clients, again, we talk about starting with the end in mind. You have to start from a place of continuous monitoring. You can't have an AI chatbot interacting with your clients that's hallucinating. You have to have a way to continuously monitor and audit the results. The second thing that you have to always focus on is there are tools out there that help monitor for bias. And it's kind of like having an AI watch an AI, but it's super important to have some monitoring. Because if you start from a place of, I want to use this great technology to do things, but I'm not looking at it from a holistic, complete picture for the organization, there are a lot of risks that come into play. So that's something else that's really, really important for our clients to consider.
Well, I'm glad my son got his first job. Maybe it helped that he played high school lacrosse, but his name was a little off, but maybe that helped him anyway. That's so interesting when people start learning the runarounds, perhaps, but such a strange world we live in. Kirk, I don't know if people ever talk to you about, you know, I think, is it going to be Matrix? Is it going to be Terminator? You know, where is the world going in terms of what we need to know with political ideology and business?
I wish I had that answer. I mean, there's lots of different paths we could go down. And when you look at it, I mean, right now, we're really dealing with what's considered narrow AI. And we haven't gotten to a place of true general intelligence. However, that's not that far off. If you look at it, the speed and pace of the way these tools are developing is accelerating literally minute by minute. And so as we go forward, where does that go? I mean, that's anyone's guess. I mean, I'll use a concrete example. If you look at the phishing attacks, talk about data security, which is on everyone's mind that runs a business right now, because that is a huge, huge impact and risk that we face. And you look at the phishing attacks that we all see, these emails that come in, the sophistication of the emails that I see and the patterns that I see is night and day different today than it was even just 3 months ago. And it's only going to continue to accelerate as more and more of the bad actors are utilizing this type of technology. It's a really challenging, it's a challenging place to be, because as it continues to go forward, it's only going to get more robust and more challenging for us to truly understand what's being done. Now, the other side is there's also AI tools being created to help fight against that. So it's kind of an arms race almost, but we're going to see more disruption and more issues, whether it's in the political theater, whether it's in perspectives and perceptions of business. All of that is changing, at breakneck pace.
Kirk, I love how you talk about it. When I think of issues, I sometimes think of challenges and opportunities, and then kind of going from there. But wanting to circle on a different aspect, I noticed on your website that you have a 90% plus re-engagement rate, which I think is really amazing. I haven't really tracked my re-engagement rate with the Colorado Business Roundtable. I probably need to do that. I know I don't like to lose people, but haven't ever put the math together on that. But tell me more about that. It sounds like you don't like to lose a client once you get them.
No, that's absolutely true. No one does when it comes down to it. It comes from starting with the end in mind, putting the very best team forward. And the truth is, myself and my partners from the very beginning, we get to play the long game. And sometimes you don't win on an individual deal. You end up, maybe it's not financially viable. Maybe it's not the absolute best for the firm or the team. However, when you build deep, lasting relationships, clients get that, and they understand you're going to go to bat for them, and that you're even willing to sacrifice your own personal or firm interest to make sure they're successful. Once they get it, you get a client for a lifetime. Now, it doesn't mean that we're always there and never leave. It just means that when they need something that aligns with what we deliver, we're usually the first call they make. So yeah, we're very proud of that, that 90%+ re-engagement rate.
Yeah, that's great. I'll have to get your tips on how to incorporate some tracking on Cobert to make sure I get 90% plus as well. So shifting gears, and I don't think this is on your radar, but we do a little bit of kind of a rapid fire at the end. I don't know if anybody told you about this, Kirk.
No, but this sounds like fun.
It's super fun. This is kind of how we end it. And it's just another chance to get to know you better and kind of end with a bang. But, one of the questions that we have kind of rapid at the end is, what's your favorite go-to happy hour location, especially if it's business related?
Wow, that's an interesting one. It depends on the time of year. If I can get anywhere outside, if the weather's nice, it's always outside. I think it just aligns really, really well with what we believe and love about Colorado. Inside, it's...
Well, tell me specifically, though, like outside.
Oh, you want to know a specific example?
The specific place, yeah.
Ocean Prime down in the Tech Center has a great outside patio. Another one in Cherry Creek, Del Fresco's Grill, has a great rooftop deck. That's a whole lot of fun. Another one in Cherry Creek that not that many people know about is on top of the hotel where Local Jones is located, there's actually a pool deck that has a bar that if it's a beautiful day, you can actually sit out there, sit at the bar. You have to drink out of plastic, but I'll tell you, it's a beautiful view. So that's another one that I really like. And for downtown, it's not outside, but at the convention center Hyatt, their rooftop bar, their Hyatt bar is a wonderful place.
That is nice. That is nice. Well, you're kind of next level because you gave me like four options, not one. There's depending on the time of year.
I'll try to keep it tighter.
It's right. I think that says a lot. You're like, I'm giving you lots of options. Okay. So I got two more questions for you. One other one is, what's your favorite binge? Could be a podcast, a Netflix series, a book series. What's your binge that you go to?
The Next Big Idea. It's a podcast, and they just bring things forward that I would not always think about. Sometimes it's about business, sometimes it's about art, but no matter what it is, I always learn something.
Okay, love that. I'm going to check that out. And then final question for you, Kirk, is what is your best advice for someone that got you a seat at the table?
To me, it's about optionality and creating options for yourself, learning and being interested in a lot of different topics. So when those opportunities come, you actually have something to say.
Love it. Hey, thanks for joining us today, Kirk. It's been fun having you on the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
And thanks, Kirk, for joining us, CEO of RevGen. It's been great getting to know you better, a little bit more about your business today. And I want to thank everyone else for joining in. This has been A Seat at the Table with Debbie Brown.
A Seat at the Table with Debbie Brown is a production of the Colorado Business Roundtable. You can find this episode, a listing of our upcoming events, and more information about our organization at cobrt.com.